Today, the digital destruction of banking. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, with the latest post covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Years ago, when I was a consultant, I used to say that financial services is the most bittable of all industries because money essentially is about information and it can be translated into ones and zeros and zeros and ones very easily. And I also said way back then that the big technology firms like Microsoft and Google and those other players potentially have massive advantage when it comes to the future of financial services. But until quite recently, really, this has not come true, but that could now be changing. So today, I want to look at an article that was recently published and discuss the recent announcement from Google that it will now offer checking accounts to consumers and that it has teamed up with Citigroup. Now, this article was posted on Seeking Alpha, which is one of the most interesting information sites that I come to. And it starts out by saying that Google is now going to offer checking accounts to consumers, joining other big tech companies in the US, but also joining the movement internationally. Google Pay will have 100 million users worldwide in 2020. And with Apple Pay already above 140 million users, there seems to be no stopping big tech intrusion into banking. The impacts of these developments on how people will do banking in the world will be mind-boggling, and it will lead to major changes in the industry, structurally, and regulatory. And he goes on to say, as I said a little while ago, money is nothing more than information. Transferring money is nothing more than information. And big tech believes it knows something about the use of information. And big tech seems to be moving more and more into money. The latest thrust is that Google will soon be offering checking accounts to consumers, becoming the latest Silicon Valley heavyweight to push into finance. And Google has not just entered into the finance arena, it has already been there before. But now it's partnering with Citigroup and with Stanford Federal Credit Union, a tiny lender near Google's home territory. A Google spokesperson states, "We are exploring how we can partner with banks and credit unions in the US to offer smart checking accounts through Google Pay." Google Pay, like Apple Pay, already allows smartphones to be used for purchases online and in stores. Now the company is exploring the provision of checking accounts nationwide. Citigroup will control the banking relationship and therefore satisfy the regulatory requirements. Citigroup already has a model to work from. In China, Citi works with messaging service WeChat, where Citibank customers make payments and complete other everyday banking transactions through the WeChat platform. Note that services for mobile and online payments are already widely used in China through WeChat Pay and Alipay. Tim Bradshaw and Robert Armstrong cite in the Financial Times that Google Pay has tens of millions of users around the world and is especially popular in India. Last December, Google attained an e-money license in Lithuania, enabling it to process payments and offer digital wallets across the European Union, and a separate authorization from Ireland's central bank under the Second Payment Services Directive. And Peter Radiger and Liz Hoffman state in the Wall Street Journal, Google Pay is on track to have 100 million users worldwide in 2020, up from 39 million in 2018, and Apple Pay has around 140 million users last year. Stacey Cowley and Tara Siegel-Bernard state it differently in the New York Times. Google already has a valuable stash of digital data. Now it wants your cash too. Success is not guaranteed, as Coley and Bernard indicate, JP Morgan Chase recently shut down Finn, a no-fee digital account with limited branch access that was aimed at younger customers. Simple, a startup that hoped to upend the banking industry with tech innovations and customer-friendly terms, was bought by a big bank, BBVA. And so-called neobanks like Chime, Aspiration and Varo have won converts, but their customer base remains small. Although customers complain about some bank services, those aren't complaints that technology companies are usually positioned to solve. And tech-focused features that bank users want, like fast peer-to-peer payments, card-free transactions, and in-app budgeting assistance, are now offered by nearly all of the large banks. But note, the largest banks have only come to these offerings fairly recently. When one reviews the proceedings of academic conferences, one sees that banking is always considered to be a laggard. And the author has written posts about several of these over the past 12 to 18 months. Furthermore, commercial banks, especially in the United States, seem to be far behind the payment mechanisms that are being used in many other areas of the world, as the data presented above shows. In fact, in a number of his articles over the past year, the large American banks have come to see the importance of their payment systems in a new light. JP Morgan Chase & Co. was one of the earlier big banks to recognize that the payment system might be the most important facility in banking in terms of securing a place in the transactional banking world. And now, as described elsewhere, it's moved into a leadership position among the largest banks in terms of its role in advancing the payments world. Other large banks are following, now trying to keep up with what JP Morgan is doing. The battle in this area is only going to accelerate and become more intense. And it is an area that in the end only a handful will remain to play in. That is, the author believes, that this will be a major contributor to the shrinking of banking systems around the next 5 to 7 years. In other words, he believes that we are reaching a tipping point for the financial space that will be reached in a couple of years, a tipping point that players like Google, Apple, Amazon, and Facebook want to play in because they see that the financial platform of the nation and of the world is going to be dominated by only a few players, and they want to be part of the remaining group. Scale, he says, will not be a problem. Obviously, in other areas, scale can be achieved on the intellectual platforms these giants create. And this will be especially true in the area of a product like money that is already just information. The regulatory folks are going to have to get themselves ready for this. At present, he doesn't think that they're really prepared for what they're going to face. We can see this in other areas, and more people talk about regulating the big tech companies, but lag in doing anything. He believes that this is due to the fact that these regulators don't really have a solution to the big tech issue. And this doesn't really get into the privacy issue, which will only become a greater problem when big techs get into bed with commercial banks. The amount of data commercial banks possess is mammoth. Adding what big tech now has control of to the banking data now in the commercial banking system is, well, mind-boggling. And he believes that the pace of change in the banking system is going to accelerate. And he believes that the number of banks in the banking system will drop from around 6,000 now to a substantially smaller number. The decline he sees is so substantial that he doesn't believe he can put a realistic number onto this time, but investors need to be aware of this trend because of the major changes that are in store for the industry. And just remember, money is information, and information is what computer technology is all about. It seems like this reality is now really catching up with the banking system. And I agree and echo that we are at a significant turning point, and the collision between big tech and the financial players is going to create a massively reformed industry. Many casualties and more risks to privacy and also to individual freedoms. this is an area that we should be watching very, very closely, because the regulators are way behind. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.